It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This podcaster named Sean Allen.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
Podcaster Sean Allen, who's...
Before I did the panel, I actually did a whole episode or conversation with my friend Fofo, my good friend Fofo. And you know what? I'm not going to hold you. I'm not that educated. I'm still not that educated what's going on over there in the Gaza Strip, Israel. But, you know, I do know that the Palestinians are being exterminated. There is a genocide happening right now, and we should all be informed and supportive and educated. But I've never gave it that much attention as I probably should have, right? It's like when I begin to dive into what's going on with the Palestinians, you know, I'll find myself inundated with, you know, local politics, stories of... I mean, the same stories of police killing unarmed black and brown people. You know, a 15-year-old boy just got shot by a cop not too far away from here. You know what I mean? So it's just things like that that just kind of pile on, which allowed me, and some of you guys are calling it a distraction, right? But that allowed me to you know, clock out on what's going on over a world away, which I learned affects me here, you know. But, you know, just trying to survive and exist in this black skin in this country, hell, even trying to stay alive going outside, you know what I mean, has allowed me, unfortunately or fortunately, whoever you ask, to not tap into what's going on over there with the Palestinians. I did want more education and more information on what's going on, and Fofo did a great job at educating me and helping me understand the parallels of what's going on and how it affects us all. You know what I mean? Even after the conversation, the education and information delivered to me by Fofo and me doing my own research, my participation has changed, right? And I always was anti-genocide. I mean, that goes without question, anti-genocide, right? Always for the Palestinians. I'm black, so I'm always going to be fighting for the marginalized population or people. You know what I mean? That's just in my blood. But, you know, I had to get more information. I had to be heard as well as a black person. Let me actually just play. I have my longtime friend, somebody I did business with, somebody I broke bread with in the past, somebody I've known for years. We got a special connection to that was unexpected. Wouldn't you agree with that?
That was pretty strange. I got to say, you know, the world is a small place.
Queens, New York, Fofo, right?
Did hey, I say that right? Yes, that's me. Fofo, that's my name. Instagram is the Fofoness, and pretty much on all social media, it's the Fofoness.
Okay. And I'm going to put that in the description of this episode. But I'm bringing you on basically because I know that you are very passionate. From me looking at you, you're more educated on what's going on in the Middle East with Gaza, Hamas, the Zionists, Israel. So what is the proper way to address this? Do I say Palestine, Gaza?
I always say when people talk about Israel, it's truly occupied Palestine. You know, Israel has only been in creation for about 76 years. They occupied land from the Palestinians. in conjunction with the UK and the, you know, the Lord Balfour Declaration. So this has been in the works for a long time. But truly, when people talk about Israel, I'm always quick to say occupied Palestine, because that's the truth.
Okay, occupied Palestine. So I know Israel is a fairly new country in concept. I know that it was created kind of, and I may be wrong, I got a lot of people who, you know, identify as Israeli listening to us. And I got people who are from the Middle East. I got Palestinians. I got, you know, I got everybody who's listening to ASAP. Israel was created as a direct response to what the Jews are those people endured during the Holocaust. Am I saying that right?
So, I mean, that's kind of part of it, but like the Balfour Declaration was done, I think, in like the early 1900s, way before World War II. Truly, the people who settled in Palestine after World War II were part of it, but there were like three major aliyahs, which is like migrations from like Europe and like other parts of the world to Palestine in terms of like a Jewish state. So
Okay. Realistically,
it's more than just that. This has been in the works for a while. And honestly, Palestine was chosen, but there were other places in the world that were looked at to be the Jewish state. It really, and also let's take into consideration that a lot of these Jewish Zionists are secular. They're not really true followers of the Judaism. You know what I mean? Like no right. book would ever push death and destruction for other people, especially Palestinians who are Jewish, Muslim, and Christian. You know what I mean?
Right. Again, I am not educated on this at all. So, you know, and I have you
by saying I'm not a complete expert. And, you know, if I make a mistake, you know, I'm more than happy to be corrected. You know, there's so much new information coming out all the time. But these are things that are like you can research them and like validate at least portions of the things that I'm saying, you know. Absolutely. And that's what I tell people. I tell people, like, if you don't know, it's your responsibility as a human being to like know what's happening, especially because we in the United States have propagandized a lot. You know, propaganda has been the name of the game since before social media came on and kind of disrupted that. So like, you know, it's crazy that we're at a time now, Sean, where we're like, our president could be talking bullshit on stage, and then I can just research what he's saying and see that it's an absolute farce. So it's like at this point now where we're just like, you know, knowledge is power, and it's like your choice whether you want to arm yourself or not, you know?
What I do understand about Palestine, what's going on over there, is the genocide, right? That is, to me, without question, happening over there, right? It just is, right? That's just white supremacy, right? I mean, that's just what it is, right? So I completely sympathize and empathize with people that are Palestinian or just the human race, right? And genocide in any country, against any group of people, erasure of any group of people, white, black, Congolese, Haitian, like it's Sudan, never okay.
You know, whatever.
It's never okay. And, you know, some people will argue what's going on in Haiti is a form of white supremacy, even though it's black people doing all the killing and yada, yada, yada. But that whole system was created because of the oppression and the terrible relationship that Haiti has with France and et cetera, et cetera, right? That's a different episode. But it all is rooted in white supremacy, right? Like, it just, all of it is, right? Even what's going on over there in Congo, these are colonized countries, colonized people. I mean, it's just what it is, right?
Sean, you want to hear a little fun fact about Africa and Israel? You know that Israel is the top 5 producer of diamonds? There's no diamonds in Palestine. Where do you think they get them from? So, like, you know, it's all connected with the white supremacy.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I did not know that. Wow. A lot of black people are taking the stance. I'm not speaking for all, but I see black people, and I don't want to say a lot. I see black people taking the stance on, that's not my business. What's going on over there? I don't know what's going on over there in the Middle East. Leave them white people alone. Let them do their thing. Obviously, it's not the right way to look at a genocide, right? But like, I'm not mad when I see black people say that.
Right.
I'm not mad when I see black people say that And I don't know if I should get into like educational mode with them, because as a Black person in this country, I understand why some of us feel that way. Me, myself, sometimes when I'm looking at this Black girl online going hard on like what's going on in Palestine, I'm like, okay, what about like us over here in this country? You know, I've never seen the global community rally behind Black people, not only just here in America, but just globally. There's more people in the Congo who have died over these past couple of years than the population of Palestine, Gaza Strip, and combined, right, like in total. And nobody is talking about that. I don't see the global community with hashtags, with flags in the bio. So it is offensive, right, to me as a Black person. You know, I post on a page every other day, you know, how police are continuing to shoot and kill unarmed Black people in this country. You know, can't even get a headline on any of these blogs, on any of these national news sources, newspapers, you know, but I'm going to dedicate my whole bit of activism to something that's going on in a place that I've never been, with people who did not stand up for us and fight for equality and recognition. You know what I mean? The global community do not fight for Black people.
Completely.
At all.
Right. And like, you know, I'm a white girl, right? I'm Greek American, so I consider myself more, you know, ethnic than, you know, just quote unquote white. But, you know, granted, you know, me and you have different perceptions of, you know, we've lived different lives. You know what I'm saying? You're on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. You know, you're Black, I'm white. Like, you know, we have just different ways of, you know, like seeing the world. But when it comes down to like Palestine, and I will say you're 100% right. And it's kind of sad for me. Like, you know, of course, you know, I fight hard for Palestine, but, you know, it breaks my heart. And I do post about Congo and the Sudan. Granted, not as much as I should. And I definitely is something that it's on my thing to get more involved in, because at the end of the day, we're all human, right? And right. At the end of the day, you know, if we don't stand up for one thing, then that somebody won't stand up for us. I will say when it comes to the Black matter, and this is just something that I don't know if a lot of people know, you know, we're talking about overseas. So America's a little different when it comes down to it. But Palestine was big on supporting South Africa's apartheid and vice versa. There was even like Nelson Mandela Square or something in Palestine, like, you know, they fought real hard to help the South Africa apartheid fall. You know?
And South Africa actually was one of the first countries to acknowledge what's going on in Palestine. Yeah.
And them taking them to court and them taking Israel to court was amazing, because it was like, if anybody's going to be able to fight them in a court way, it's going to be South Africa, because they experienced it, you know?
Right.
And Palestine has a Afro community as well, like an Afro-Palestinian community. Like, the thing I think people don't realize about Palestine, and Palestine is the holy land for everybody. Like, there are all kinds of nationalities. You're Palestinian, and, you know, but, you know, they're represented in so many ways. So, like, it's not, I wouldn't look at it like a Middle East thing. I would look at it as like a humanity thing. And that's kind of how I, like, picture it, too. You know what I mean?
Not jumping on a bandwagon and trying to discredit and diminish what's going on over there. But there's like TikToks of people back in 2019, 2020, talking about how they have been discriminated against and faced racism over in the Gaza Strip.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you're telling me that there's Afro-Palestinians. I'm educated enough to know that that is true. Mm-hmm. But still, there's this thing or this undercurrent of the global community not supporting Black people. I have not seen the global community ever in my lifetime get behind any Black global cause ever. Right.
And I mean, I will say, like, you know, and listen, racism exists everywhere, right? So, you know, I know that, you know, like, I haven't seen that, and I would love for you to send me, because I just like knowing all sides of the story so that I have, you know, just educated on it. I will say, you know, unfortunately, racism exists everywhere. You know,
you know, you're saying about the, you know, like anti-Black, and I don't discredit it at all, and I believe it, because unfortunately that's just something that happens in the world, and it's disgusting and it needs to go away. But I will say that, like, in Israel, you know, like, we're gonna say the other flip of the coin, you know, I know there's a lot of Black quote unquote Zionists who, you know, swear that they're for Israel, but did you know that Israel was sterilizing Black Ethiopian Jews like 10-15 years ago?
Absolutely. Yeah. I know about all that. There's videos of the same shit we're dealing with the police out here as African Americans. They, the Ethiopians over there in Israel, Tel Aviv, same discriminatory practices. And I'm not saying this to say that I can understand somebody listening to this be like, okay, you're trying to pull the Black card or the race card. Racism right. exists everywhere. You know, it's still a genocide going on, right? It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
It's still a genocide, right? And it's still wrong. But, you know, I just want to, I say that because, again, I am in support of Palestinians and freedom for all, right? And the genocide, right. any genocide is bad, right? But I just side eye when I see Black people going so hard for it, and then I side eye when my friends who are not Black look at me crazy because I'm not using my platforms to educate or to stand in solidarity with the Palestinians.
Listen, I get what you're saying, and I feel like people have to understand, like you know, you see my social media, you say I'm always out, I'm protesting, I've talked about this for years, but I've been nonstop since, you know, October.
Right.
I tell people all the time, like, you don't have to be me and you don't have to be like other people. Like, even you doing this, like, that's your resistance in the wheel. You know what I mean? Everybody has right. a way to combat this, whether it's just educating yourself. And then I feel like even if like, say, like the Black community doesn't really want to, you know, join in, whatever, as long as they're educating themselves, that's part of the resistance, because then you can identify the bullshit when it's put in your face, and then you could connect the dots, because there is a connect the dot thing across the whole part of this. So it's like, as long as you're privy to that and you could see it and identify it, you know, maybe you're not going to go march, but as long as you know, that's a major hurdle that's not being like a blindfold over your eyes. So, like, right. you know, I say to your listeners, if you don't care and you don't want to do anything, that's fine. But at least know, so that nobody can make you a sheeple and make you a sheep that you think that you know what's going on and you don't. Like, that's the first thing you should do, is know what's going on. And then in your struggle, you can identify with people and what they're
right. going through. Right. But then, like, there's a part of me that's like, well, you know, where's the energy for me and my people? Right. You know what I mean? How am I? I'm trying to survive here just by breathing, and you guys expect me to take on other people's
struggle,
fight and plight, mm-hmm. and nobody's doing that for us, right? So that's how I feel at times, and I think that I am sharing the same sentiment as a lot of African American people in this country, right? That's the first part of it. The right. second part of it is, how does that affect our, back to the original question, how does that affect us here in the United States? Can you speak to that?
Yeah. So I think the first thing I'm going to speak to is what you said about, like, your plight, you know, like, from your perspective, and, like, listen,
which is similar to, probably even more identical than it isn't to, the Palestinians, right? Let me say that part.
Right. And I feel like the crazy thing for me is, I get, like, we're all in the struggle, and, like, you know, especially because it's a similar, you know, like, if you were to just do it by, like, under umbrella, like, a similar thing that's going to the Palestinians that, you know, Black people have experienced throughout the whole world, not even just America, just throughout the whole world. But I mean, I think it's also, like, you know, like, the during the Black Lives Matter protest, you know, me and you were working together at that time, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, like, I was at one of the marches, and it's like, it was mostly white people. Now, that doesn't mean that every white person in the world is going to fight for it. It's not whatever. But, you know, people in numbers come as they awaken. You know what I mean? And it's like, one thing I could say about Black people is they're super educated. Like, you know, the way they look at things, it's great. And like, you know, what better voice than somebody who understands the struggle? You know what I mean? And again, I say this as somebody who doesn't experience it in that regard, but you know, I have a lot of respect for people that I see talk and like how they take their own experience and kind of use it as a motion forward. Like for me, like I'm white, but I'm Greek. So, you know, we have our own history. So for me, like nobody really knows what happened to me, my people, but I do. So like, it don't matter what other people think. I know that, especially me as a white person who has more privilege than others, like, let's be realistic. Like I do acknowledge that. And I know that that's why for me, it's like even more important for me because I know what it is. And I'm going to go forward and say something because F you, like that you don't agree or you don't agree. Like I know what it is. And at the end of the day, it's also like not a performative thing, right? Like you want people to stand up for you. So you need to stand up. You know what I mean? Kind of like right. Be what you want to be in the world. You know what I mean?
There was more people protesting with the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, that whole bit. I'm going to acknowledge that. And I am going to agree with you on that. Right. Mm-hmm. This is another show and another podcast. I don't think that we should have been out there protesting in the first place. I don't think Black people should have been out there protesting in the first place.
I agree with you.
I think that the white people who created the system and who created the and who benefits from the system should have been our allies, quote unquote, should have been the main ones out there in the front of the lines fighting. And they were, but it was also performative too, right? So again, that's a whole other show. That's a whole other podcast. But I don't think that Black people should have been out there protesting. I don't think that Black people in this country, our existence and our skin is activism and protest.
Right.
You know, and I think that the global community, more so the American community, needs to understand that. You know, I'm not speaking for all Black people. I'm speaking for myself and I'm speaking from my experiences, you know. I could be killed going outside,
right?
By the system, or at the hands of the system. By the system, meaning niggas down the street on Crenshaw on some gang shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The system created that, right? The system could also kill me. I could get pulled over by a cop, reach for my driver's license, mm-hmm. or put my hands on the steering wheel, and they pull me out of the car and Rodney King me or shoot me, right? Right. So I don't have the capacity to dedicate my life to any more fights because I'm fighting to stay alive. You understand what I'm saying? Literally. Absolutely. So, you know, I'm getting chills even saying that, but.
Right. My only pushback to that is that, like, you know, I agree that, you know, people who weren't Black and who don't experience that part of it should have been out, whether it's white, Asian, any other race other than Black. My only thing is that, I mean, I did meet, you know, it was overwhelmingly not Black at these protests, but, you know, it was great when I saw them there because at the end of the day, like, I don't want it to be performative. Like, I want there to be like a meeting of the minds and like, it shouldn't have, you know, it shouldn't be run by white people because it's not their fight. Like, they should be alongside, not running it. Do you know what I mean? And like,
right.
I don't, you know, like, I'm kind of 50-50 on that, but you know, at the end of the day, like putting my body out there and, you know, and saying what I had to say and like posting it, like my statement was made, you know what I mean? And aside
and, from people who and, don't, and you your know, defense, knowing you all these years and knowing your tone and your mission all these years, you've been pretty consistent when it comes to fighting for people and standing up for inequality and using your voice and your platform and your body and your time. So you're not new to this. That's a part of your life fight. Is standing up for marginalized communities. You've never had this conversation with me, but since I've known you, that's always been rhythm you've kept, you know? Shout out to you for that.
Thank you. And I mean, and it's funny because I'll tell you, like on my page, I get a lot of people from Palestine messaging me like, thank you so much. And like, you know, people thank me and it's kind of like a weird feeling for me because it's like, you shouldn't thank me for this. You shouldn't thank me for speaking up for people. Like that should be the last thing, you know, it should be expected, but nonetheless, you know, I appreciate the thanks, but it's something that everybody should do. It shouldn't be something that be thanked for. You know what I mean?
Right. I agree with that.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
How does what's going on over there, Palestine, Gaza Strip, how does that affect us here? Let's take the humanitarian aspect out of it.
Okay.
How does it affect us, like geopolitics? Like, how does it affect us?
So I think for me, the biggest thing that I realized is how both sides of our government, Republicans and Democrats, how like hook, line, and sinker they're into this thing. You know, billions of dollars over the last 76 years has gone to Israel. And at a time where us in America are struggling to pay our rent, to eat, you know, like we're not reinvesting in ourselves. It also just shows, and I mean, this may be a little like off the wall, but it's almost like we've been occupied by them as well in our government. And it's like, you know, and these are the things that we see, the money that goes, the things that are publicized, things that we see. And, you know, we see our you know, elected officials, you know, standing hard for Israel. Meanwhile, like their constituents are saying, what the hell? Like, I think more than like 80%, or I don't remember what the last figure was, but like more than 80% of like the U.S. is like against this. So the biggest thing for me is like our government is not listening to the people. That's the biggest thing for me. It's like, how is this a democracy? And then it's like, you look at all the things that are on TV and it made me realize how propagandized we are as Americans and how like wild it is, how like, how coddled we are as Americans and how they make us be comfortable with the good life so that we don't question things. And that's the first thing, because our complacency as like people and Americans let this go on for so long. You know, like, honestly, like I'm a big supporter of social media and like, thank God, because we see things that are happening right now overseas that our people don't, like our news people don't even say it here. So it's like, I think Palestine have really taken out the blindfold from a humanitarian issue, because unfortunately what's happening in Palestine is happening in other places. But realistically, like we don't see how tied in it is to our country. Also, our country goes and causes problems all over the world. So like, my thing is like, it just made me realize like, you know, like I love America, but I just don't like our government, and our government is horrible. You know, granted, like, look what they did to the people who came to this country, like African-Americans, like anybody. So it's just one rabbit hole that connects to another rabbit hole that connects to another rabbit hole. It just shows you how interconnected this all is.
Right, right, right. That makes a lot of sense. Somebody was saying, and this was a conversation that was happening in my peripheral, they were saying that like the way the U.S. funds Israel for defense is allowing them to, again, it's taking money from us, right? And it's taking resources from us. Mm-hmm. Or I don't want to say it's taking anything from us. I want to say that, well, okay, yeah,
it is,
because they're using money to kill people to, you know, to do this genocide, right? So it's taking money from us and resources from us, the way we are funding and supporting Israel. But what it's going to do is it's going to then allow America to continue to militarize police in this country, mm-hmm. which directly affects people who look like me.
Right.
It's, you know, the defense budget, right? Now we have to pour into our police here in the United States, and we know how policing is with Black people. Mm-hmm. That was a peripheral conversation that I was, you know, a part of. I wasn't really paying attention like that. Mm-hmm. So if anyone wants to correct me and come up and correct me, you guys can. But that's what I heard. Do you know anything about that? Would you be able to speak to that?
When it comes down to like our, you know, I think it also goes by sector, like by state, you know, but for the most part, like, you know, police are like paramilitary, you know? I mean, one thing that I can say about, and I can only like, I speak for the NYPD, like the NYPD is like a really mixed bag of like ethnicities. And I mean, I really, you know, it's something that I'm having a conversation with other people, especially because, you know, I see what's happening here in New York City when it comes down to like, you know, policing and especially like everything that's going on with these protesters. I mean, unfortunately, you know, everybody talks about defund the police, but that's not going to happen probably. I really feel like, but there needs to be an internal shift. And I mean, it really, at the end of the day, you know, not going from the top down, but when you go from the bottom up, you know, the bottom of the of policing is the people or the police officers. And like, they're all human beings and like, they need to step up and start pushing from the inside. That's something that I've been saying, like internally, they need to like push back and be like, what is this? You know, and also let's take into consideration that a lot of police all over the United States are short staffed because people are not signing up because it's like, for what? So like, I mean, I think they really have a fundamental issue like internally and externally that they really need to take a look at. You know, I being, you know, being scared of the people who are supposed to quote unquote protect you is a horrible feeling. I can't even imagine that. Like that's, you know, like for you to, you know, worry about, you know, go to the grocery store, like you're going to make it back, whether it's a car accident, a cop or somebody else. Like that's crazy to like, that's a crazy thing to live in. And it's not a feasible thing, like in terms of like good living, let's say. But I don't know, where can we say, Sean, in the whole world where the policing is like good, I guess you can say, or more community based? I don't know.
Right.
Like it's a fundamental issue from the beginning, like from the top down. Like I think that there's so many aspects to it. But my only hope is like, you know, especially like with this Palestine, okay, like let's talk about this Palestine issue, right? Like I was at NYU and I was at Columbia. And Columbia was more calm, but NYU, when I was there, when like they were arresting people in like the riot gear, and like I was scared. Like mentally I was preparing myself to be arrested. And I'm just like, at this point, I was like, if I got arrested, I was like, whatever. But I was just more scared of like being hurt. And like, you know what I mean? Like that was nuts to me because there was so much violence. Like not, when I say violence, I just mean like pushing and shoving. Like it didn't get
right
from where I was sitting. But you know, when you see 50 cops in riot gear like run into the street and like everybody dispersing, like that's terrifying. I can't even imagine that. Like I can't even imagine like we're at that point. And what bothers me is that the NYPD shouldn't have done that. The NYPD is not personal security for a private city college. So like, what's happening there? Like, why aren't they pushing back internal to be like, what the F? Mind you, Eric Adams, which is our president, which is our mayor, is like a bootlicking Zionist. So anyway, like, so it's just, again, top down, like these people do their bidding. They bought everybody up. All of our people are bought by them. But, you know, knowing is the first step to changing things, I guess.
What was the racial makeup of the protest that you went to in New York?
So it was actually a mix. It was really cool. It was like such a mix of different people. I can't say it was predominantly Arab or predominantly Black or predominantly white. It was a mix of everybody. But something cool that happened to me actually was, me and a family member of mine who went to the protest at NYU were sitting there, and you know, she, my family friend had a Greek flag and a Palestinian flag. So I had this black girl come up and she goes, "Hey, you're Greek?" And I say, "Yeah." And she started talking to me Greek. She goes, "Oh, I'm Greek too. You tell me about the day." And I'm like, "Oh, are you a student here?" She was like, "Yeah." And then it was like, there was a couple other Greek people who were white Greek people. But the fact that like she came up and started talking, it was like so great. Cause like, you really meet so many different people. And it was such an amazing experience. And like, we were talking and we were like, you know, catching up on things. So it's cool. Cause you know, you really, like for me, like she was a black girl, but she was Greek black girl to me. You know what I mean? She wasn't like right. An outsider. Like I was like the camaraderie, you know what I mean? Like, and right. From then on, I watched her to make sure she was good. Do you know what I mean? So like,
right.
It was amazing. Like you meet so many people and you meet so many Palestinians. Oh my God. They like, it's so great. It's just so great. And like you see in their eyes too, like, you know, I'll tell you this much. I'm loud. You know me, I'm loud. And, you know, I went even harder this time because I had so many Palestinians tell me, like, I can't really speak up. I'm afraid because I can't get back into my country, Palestine, the ones who are allowed to go back to Palestine. They're afraid for their jobs, for that. So, like, I spoke up louder for people that couldn't speak. You know what I mean?
I also know that the watermelon is the color of the Palestinian flag.
Mm-hmm.
Why that and not the flag? Why do I see the watermelon in everybody's bios and captions and not the flag?
So it's really actually a really cool story. So it was an artist who was drawing like a Palestinian artist who was drawing art, and the IDF had pulled him over and said, listen, we don't want you know, we don't want anything of the flag. We don't want anything that's like politically motivated. Like they said to him, like draw pictures of naked women, whatever. And he was like, well, what if I draw this? And the guy goes, the IDF soldier, the Israeli said, I don't care if you draw a watermelon. He goes, it's not going to be up. And he goes, that's how the idea came up. So that's where they started drawing watermelons, because it covers all the flag, but it's also like an indiscreet way to do the cause. So it actually was it actually came from a Zionist soldier, actually, where they came from.
Oh, wow.
This symbol has spread across the globe and calls for a ceasefire in Gaza, the watermelon. The colors of the popular fruit, green, white, red, and black, are the same as the Palestinian flag. After the 1967 Mideast War, the Israel government banned displays of the flag in Gaza and the West Bank. In 1980, for example, an art gallery showing political work and art with the same colors of the flag was shut down. Now, since the beginning of the Israel-Hamas War, the fruit has appeared on banners, t-shirts, social media posts, and the watermelon has once again become a symbol of solidarity.
Another thing too that I've been kind of watching, they're saying that people are being shadow banned and they're censoring people's posts and feed because of support of Palestine. Mm-hmm. Is that a thing?
So when everything first started, so yes, I know that people have experienced shadow banning and blocking. For me, I don't know if because I'm verified, I have a little bit of a different leeway. I'll say this, when everything first started and beginning of October, you know, I was going hard from the beginning, and I actually did get I got like a slap on the wrist and I got my comments taken away for a little bit. So then I had to think about it. I'm like, and then I also at that time I had somebody pretending to be me on social media. So I was like, you know what, let me be verified. So I paid for them, you know, I paid to be verified member. And I said that's a way for me to like protect myself. I also am very careful about what I write and how I write it, you know, like Citizen Trigger. But realistically, I have connected to so many people in the US, Palestinians, not Palestinians, people who are part of the resistance, let's say, like in terms of like American people who are talking. I've made so many friends. Even my analytics, like now, I think like last I checked, like 15% of my views come from Palestine, like Gaza itself. So like, and all my feed is mostly political stuff and mostly pro-Palestine. So I'm glad to say that I haven't really experienced that. I'm not saying others haven't. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because, just, you know, truthfully, I believe that the algorithm is so overwhelmed with pro-Palestinian content that they've kind of lost control of that. Truthfully, that's what I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a protest. That's protest right there.
Exactly.
They changed you guys changed the system. You guys made the system change.
Yeah.
Because of the posts. And right. Okay, pretty dope.
Like, it's funny because they talk about TikTok all the time. And my thing is, like, I don't even, you know, I'm a little bit older. So, like, TikTok is, I don't know, for some reason, TikTok really hasn't really caught me in terms of, like, me being out there like that. But Instagram is my main platform. And honestly, I've learned so much. I've connected to so many people. It's truly amazing because it makes me sad when I see people are blocked. But for the most part, I haven't seen that. And I don't know if it's because I'm verified, so I have a bit of protection. I will tell people that, like, for me, like, having a verified account is helpful because every time I get something weird on my account, I'll just go to customer service, like, what's up? And they'll be like, oh, and they'll fix it. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I also told somebody, because somebody's like, oh, you know, like, Meta's, like, Zionist, you know, owned by Zuckerberg. And I was like, yeah, but at the end of the day, I'm paying them to protect me. Like, and I'm going to fix it from the inside. Like, you know what I mean? And that was, like, right. My term of resistance. Like, yeah, I pay my little fee, but I have a loud voice. You know what I mean? Right. So, like, right. Kind of, like, cancels it out, I guess.
Did you understand me when I said that the global community never showed up for Black people at all like this? And how did that make you feel when I said that?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it makes me sad that, like, nobody's going hard for, like, the Congo and Sudan when, like, millions of people have died there. And that, like, you know, it's crazy, like, the statistics that's happening, like, the rapes, the killing, the kids, like, and it does break my heart. And, like, even for me, like, you know, I definitely know that I have to amp up that, you know, and educate myself more and amp myself more in that part of it. I completely get it. I don't know how to get around that. Like, I don't know, like, how do you make people care? I mean, even with the Palestine thing, like, even Palestinians at this point are just like, I'm mind blown that people care. So, like, I don't know, like, what is it? Like, I don't know what makes it different. Is it because, I mean, it blows my mind, honestly, and it bothers me. And I wish there was more people like me who was doing it, but I also wish there was more people who are Black who were talking about it. Because, you know, I follow a lot of people, and, like, a lot of people don't talk about stuff that's happening in Africa, and it, like, bothers me because it's like, you know, if something was happening in Greece, I'd be the first one to talk about it.
The people who benefit from all these genocides, homicides, you know, oppression, mm-hmm. you know, what else am I trying to say? These corrupt systems, those people.
Western civilization, quote unquote.
They need to be fighting. White people need to be talking about, everybody needs to be talking about what's going on in Africa and Haiti. Everybody needs to be talking about it. But white people need to be the loudest voices. The people who directly benefit from all these atrocities globally need to be the ones who are, I mean, they're the only ones that could really dismantle this. The people who are going to dismantle the system are the people who created the system.
Right.
They have to dismantle the system. So niggas don't have to, I mean, we have to protest, right? But, like, that's not my job. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. Maybe not you, but, like, maybe not, like, you particularly, but, like, I'll say this much, okay? Like, for me, I will, as a Greek person, like, when I talk about the stuff that happened in my family and stuff happened to my people, the only people who are going to learn about what happened to my people is me. And people like me who are going to educate you. I learn a lot of stuff about the Palestinian cause from actual Palestinians. And that's what got me motivated. I didn't hear it from America. I didn't hear it from Zionists. None of them. I had to hear it and see it from the people for me to be like, damn, I got to do something. You know what I mean? And, right. And, like, I go out of my way to educate Black, white, Chinese, alien, purple. It doesn't make a difference. If you show interest in the cause, I'm going to talk about it. You know what I mean? So, like,
right.
I also motivate people because I'm passionate about it. So if you're not passionate, if somebody's not passionate about it, especially your own people, how are you gonna get other people motivated?
Right.
So, like,
right,
you
right.
know, like, I've had people say to me, like, you know, I wish people would talk about the Congo and Sudan like they do about Palestine, kind of like talking down to me because I was pushing the Palestinian cause and not, like, an African cause. And I said to them, well, then you should step up and you should say something then. That should be your personal passion cause that you should talk about. Not taking away from what they're saying, absolutely. And I know that's something that I have to focus on more, like, you know, and be aware and talk about it. And I do, not as the rate I probably should, but, like, you know, it's kind of overwhelming right now what's going on. But, you know, if people who sympathize with the African cause in Congo and Sudan and anywhere where this stuff happens, even if it's in wherever, like, you need to be the first person who goes about it and talks about people around you and spreading that message around you. Like, it is a cause for everybody.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
So like,
I agree with that.
People like for you, know. Like if it's something that's important to you, then you should maybe have an educational podcast explaining like what the situation is. Maybe your 40-minute podcast will trigger somebody to like really go head first into it.
Right, right. I agree with that. I was invited to that panel that, you know, we had a conversation about offline, mm-hmm. and they want to, you know, get different perspectives on what's going on and thoughts on Palestine, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Going to be people from both sides, right? And as I was preparing myself to go on a panel, you know, a 15-year-old black boy was shot here by the police in San Bernardino, you know, California, you know. This happened the other week, right?
Right.
You know, and then the young boy who was 11 years old who was killed by a cop in Mississippi, you know, it was just released yesterday that the cop that shot and killed him, you know, is not being charged and has been reinstated. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm supposed to be reading up on Palestine and what's going on out there, but my algorithm and my media is feeding me things that are going on here with these police killing these black people, right?
So
it's like, how do I, I could do multiple things at one time and fight at multiple fights at the same time, but I can't lie to you. My interest went to Frank Tyson, who was just killed by Ohio police officers yesterday. You know, it's on camera. I posted it on the page. He's saying, you know, the famous words, you know, I can't breathe. So how am I supposed to go into this panel and not talk about those things? You know, it's really, really heartbreaking. And it really, really is like, it's tough.
It is 100%. I mean, since you're going on the panel, I guess the best suggestion for me, first and foremost, is like, for you, especially as somebody from African descent, right? I would definitely, for you, I would try to find the link between Israel, Palestine, Congo, Sudan, and how they're all interconnected, because they are interconnected with Israel and the Zionists. It is connected. So, I mean, that would be a way to bring you in terms of your own, you know, your own ethnicity being like kind of part of it. I would also say, like, I completely understand the fact of rest his soul, the kid who just passed away. But what that just happened to him, unfortunately, like, you know, it'll cause an uproar in the United States, and as it should, you know, it should cause reform. But stuff like that has been happening in Palestine every day, every minute, men, women, children, kids, elderly, and it doesn't even get a protest. It doesn't even get a blink. These people, I saw a thing where a Israeli cop unloaded 6 bullets inside of a guy and just walked away, and nothing ever happened. There was also like a couple years ago, an Israeli soldier like used an AK to like mow down like a super young girl, like she's 7, 8, 9, something like that. And the guy said, "I would do it again." And you know what? He got scot-free, and nothing happened to him. So there are parallels that connect one to the other. You know what I mean?
I definitely agree with you. That's why it was important for us to have this conversation. Thank you for coming up and doing this with me and educating me.
Yes, and, thank you.
No problem, Fofo.
I will say it makes me more aware of like my lack of understanding about, and I mean, I do know, but not as in depth as I would other subjects, but it makes me like even more wanting to like know more in depth about Congo and Sudan and like connecting the dots for people, because, you know, at the end of the day, my biggest thing is like educating people and having them see the correlation. So like if me figure out the correlation to make people feel passionate, to get them to go up and do what they need to do and connect the dots with Africa, Israel, Palestine, and America, if that's my next thing to look at, that's what I will do. Like at the end of the day, everybody should be free, and we're not free until everybody's free.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Again, you know, as I said at the beginning, the global, I've never seen the global community rally behind Black people globally like I am with what's going on in Palestine, Gaza Strip, mm-hmm. Israel. So thank you again for providing clarity for me and our listeners. And yeah. Can you tell people where to follow you or find you?
So my main platform is on Instagram, The Fofoness. I'm on there all the time. I'm really responsive on there. And, you know, feel free to connect and, you know, power to the people.
And again, all her information will be located in the description of this episode. Thank you for listening to ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast. Again, if you are new here, make sure you follow wherever you listen to podcasts, like, rate, subscribe. See you guys on the next one.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.